Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is just an announcement podcast, along with some recommendations I have for the ERASA process. And I guess the first thing I'll say is I'll return to making podcasts very soon. I just had to take a break from making like podcasts for like the last few days, but hopefully by October 1st, October 2nd. I should be back in the podcast making business because I love making podcasts, educational podcasts first and foremost. But essentially the two things I want to announce now, I guess let me maybe give my recommendations first, right? So the key recommendation I would say is for those of you that are planning to submit your ERAS application this year, I would encourage you, again, yes, the ERAS deadline is October 21st. Right? I mean, the first day to submit is October 21st. But almost every year, right? ERAS always has some kind of snafu with the website is crashing, this and that, blah, 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 blah. So usually the smart, prudent thing to do is to try to get in your application like at least like 2 days ahead of time, like submitted like October 19th. So that you know you've said it, you've forgotten it, right? You don't have to worry about like, oh, ERAS crashed, so processing my application was delayed and all that stuff, right? And then, even if you don't have all your recommendation letters in, just get everything in as quickly as you can. That's usually the smart thing to do. I would also encourage you, if you don't have scores from a particular exam, it still makes sense to put in your entire application on the first day, right? Putting your entire application on the first day, because again, that thing can get you, like, programs get antsy. Just as you're getting excited submitting, they're getting excited to just go ahead and start evaluating applicants, right? So to at least get yourself considered, get your application in the first day. You can always update your application when your scores from your exams come back. And then another thing I would say is, for this application cycle, it makes sense to apply to more programs than you would usually apply to, right? So even if you're the high scoring person, it still makes sense to apply to a decent number of programs this cycle. Because the thing is, this is essentially Zoom cycle, right? This is a Zoom cycle. I'd be shocked and appalled, actually, if a program elected to perform a in-person interviews. That'd be ridiculous, right? So one thing I would say is, strongly consider applying to a decent number of programs compared to what you'd normally apply for. Because again, there is almost no consequence, right? To applying to a ton of programs to doing a ton of interviews this cycle. I mean, like, you could reasonably bang out like 5 or 6 interviews in a single day, right? So since that's the case, just apply to a decent number of programs so that you don't get blindsided with the NRMP algorithm, right? Ordinarily, programs that people would say, oh, I'm not going to interview with this program, they'll be like, it's what? Like, just an extra, like, what, like $15 or so to me? And it's just a Zoom call. I just need to dress up. I don't need to go for any applicant dinner. I don't have to take any flight. I don't have to try to impress anyone in person. Don't have to hang around the residence or anything like that, right? So what I would just say is apply to a decent number of programs, right? Don't apply to, oh, my scores are crazy high. Let me just apply to 5 programs. You know, that's not smart. That's also not prudent. And then another thing I would also say with this cycle is this is for people that already have low scores. Let's say you're an international medical graduate and you have low scores. And you already graduated from med school. So let's say you have step 1 scores, step 2 CGA scores. You already graduated from med school. I would encourage you to consider taking the USMLE step 3 exam before you turn in your rank lists and have those scores in hand before you turn in your rank lists. Let me explain why. The thing is, when you have very low scores, right? Or let's say you already have a failure on your USMLE transcript. You know, it makes program directors a little bit worried that, will this person have problems passing exams? Will this person be able to become board certified, right? Because there are some residency programs that would not let you move on to your next year of residency, like your second year or whatever, if you don't have a passing score on step 3, right? So the thing you can do in that case is you can alleviate many of those fears that a program director would have if you have a step three score. At least the program director will know that for sure, this person is going to get board certified, right? I mean, this person is going to get certified as a physician in some state in the U.S., right? So that's always helpful. And there are people that I have worked with where it is that step three score that got them ranked by a program or got them an interview at a program, right? So just something to consider. And then another thing I would say on that front is for the international medical graduates that are studying for the OET exam, I will strongly encourage you, right? Really consider studying for that thing, right? It's just one of those things you don't want to take and not do well on, right? Because it's a relatively easy exam, right? So, you know, kind of take it seriously, do well on it. You just want to pass that thing, right? It's a pretty easy exam. There's free prep online. They have awesome, excellent YouTube videos. So, you know, study for that, right? Study for that and you'll be in good shape. And then the next thing I would say concerns in preparing for interviews, right? One gold mine of information that I feel like for whatever bizarre reason, med students ignore from year to year are the Reddit spreadsheets that exist. You know, some of them have garbage information, but most of them are actually pretty good, right? If you're interviewing at a given program, it makes perfect sense, right, to spend some time looking through the spreadsheet. Like, they give good information like, oh, this is what the program's hours are like. These are some useful things I learned from the interview. Just do a Google search. Oh, 2019-2020 interview season impressions Reddit, right? And then you'll see different things. You can even see some Reddit threads on like name and shame, you know, programs that did applicants dirty. You can look at all those things, right? Again, those things are very good. I'm not saying you should base your entire decision on those things, right? But at least they can give you some hints. Real world information, not stuff you look up on some website. Again, there are some of these resources that are out there that are not particularly helpful, but many people in like med school administration for some bizarre reason widely recommend, right? So just something to kind of keep at the back of your mind with this season. And again, I will encourage you, try to do like at least one or two mock interviews, right? And there's not one thing I love, right, especially with exam prep or interview prep, is to try to do it as closely as possible to the real world conditions you know you're going to face, right? So I'll encourage you, if you're preparing, you should maybe do like one or two in-person practice interviews, right? But you should try to do your in-person practice interviews via Zoom, right? Because chances are you're going to be doing your interviews via Zoom, right? And dress up. Those practice interviews you're doing, just dress up for them. Even if, you know, your bottoms are, you know, not great, but, you know, try to look professional at the top. The more you begin to psych your mind into that, the better you'll do with an interview, right? And, you know, make sure you know your application well. You don't want them to ask you questions and you're like, I don't know what's going on here, right? And then another thing you also want to do is, you know, after you attend an interview, it behooves you, right, to send a thank you letter, right? Just send a thank you, not mailed letter. Just an email will do, right? Again, programs are inundated with tons of mail. So just send a simple, short email. But in that email, don't just say, oh, thank you, love the institution, deuces, see you later. No, that's not smart. That's not prudent, right? So the thing you'd want to do in that circumstance is to, you know, really strongly consider, you know, say like one or two high yield things. Oh, I loved this about your program. I loved XYZ about your program and all that stuff, right? You do that, again, you can put yourself in the good graces of that program. Again, especially if you had like a really good, really decent experience with them. And then one other thing I would also say is when, you know, December, January comes, you've gone through all your interviews, you know, you see this one program that you really love, right? You can send them that I love you email, you know, I love this program. I'd really love to be a member of this program, stuff like that, right? Craft that email carefully, right? Express your intentions. There are some things I'm not going to say because this is a public podcast, but express your intentions very clearly. Don't try to give them mixed messages, right? Like, wait, what is this person really saying concerning the institution? Does this person really want to come here or not, right? No. No mixed messages. be very clear, but be very respectful, right? And again, don't do that with multiple programs. That's not a good thing to do. It's not a very honest thing to do. So, and I guess since I kind of gave a bunch of tips, I'll just make this episode 266. But the announcements I wanted to give, right? So, one concerns the USMLE Step 3 exam. So many people have requested, and I've mentioned in the past that I'll be making a post soon on the on my upcoming USMLE Step 3 course. The course is going to be coming in November. It's going to be coming in mid-November on the 13th and on the 14th of November. Essentially, what it's going to be is it's going to be for a total of 12 hours, and it's going to be in 3 4-hour chunks, right? The first 4-hour chunk will be on the Friday, right? So Friday the 13th of November, right? So we'll hold that from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right? That's going to be the goal. So 2 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday the 13th. And then on Saturday the 14th, we would have the second 4-hour block from 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right? So that'll be the second 4-hour block, right? And then the third 4-hour block will also still be on that Saturday, right? So we'll take a 2-hour break, you know, from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we'll go from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the third 4-hour block, right? So it's a total of 12 hours. 4 hours will be on the 13th from 4 hours on the 13th, and then we'll have 4 hours on the 14th in the morning and 4 hours on the 14th in the afternoon, right? We'll take a 2-hour break between those 2 4-hour blocks, right? So if you're interested, shoot me an email through the contact me option on the website, and I'll start registering you. Once the registration is full, then I will stop and then enroll people in the next class. I plan to hold the class probably like once a month or once every 6 weeks roughly. So, you know, kind of depending on what my schedule looks like. And then the second announcement is I've also cleared time out in my schedule to work with people on ERAS applications, right? So, my schedule has been extremely busy this last few weeks, right? So I've not necessarily had time to offer many of those services. But if you're interested, between, I guess, now and when ERAS hits, just again, reach out to me through the contact button, right? So like, you need help with your personal statements, you need help with recommendation letters, you need help with MSPEs, you need help with noteworthy characteristics for your MSPEs, you need help with mock interviews, you need help with editing your ERAS application, like describing your experiences, your research, and all that stuff. Just reach out to me. I do this in one of two ways. I can either meet you one-on-one, which very heavily depends on my availability, which will be limited, right? Or you'll give me some information I need, and then I'll make edits based on that on my own time. So if you're interested in any of those things, again, just reach out to me through the website. Just hit the contact me button, shoot me an email there. I usually respond to people pretty quickly. So yeah, that's something you're interested in, just reach out to me. I'll give you some more information on my rates, and then we will go from there. And then please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, right? Divine Intervention USMLE podcasts and videos. I also have it's a YouTube channel, right? And then I also have podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, on Google Play. You know, please subscribe to those. And then I also, again, hope to start making YouTube videos again in the month of October. And then if you want to get an alert whenever I make a podcast, consider subscribing to the website itself, the WordPress website, right? It's divineinterventionpodcast.com. And then finally, one other thing I would also say is more from a life lesson perspective, right? So the thing is, I will just say this now, and it's not really, it's kind of a life lesson, but it's kind of like a reality of life. The fact that you fail the USMLE exam does not mean that you cannot match, okay? And I'm not saying this to make the listeners of this podcast feel better. No, that's not my goal. I have worked with people that have failed step one, that have failed the USMLE exam. And then these people ultimately ended up matching into residency, right? Many of these people are now successful match residents, right? So again, the fact that you fail the USMLE exam, it doesn't mean that the end is that it's over for you. No, it's not, right? You just need to come back from that and just do a solid job, right? The one thing I would say is you don't fail a USMLE exam and immediately rush into taking a USMLE exam again. That's not smart. That's not prudent, right? But if you come back and say, okay, you know what? I failed this USMLE exam. Let me see what I did wrong. Let me make a solid plan and let me go for it again, right? Don't let that discourage you. You can do very well. I've seen people that have failed and then they, at least I've worked with people, they failed and then they came back and they did like 30 points better, 40 points better, right? So just gonna keep that at the back of your mind, right? So don't let your background make you write yourself off, right? I mean, there's a part in the book of, it's in the Bible, it's like John, I believe it's John 1, right? And they talk about how, it's either John 1 or Luke 1, it's one of those two, where they talk about how can anything good come from Nazareth, right? Basically saying that, oh, people that are from Nazareth, what big thing can come from there, right? But that's literally where Jesus Christ was born. That's where Jesus Christ came, or at least not born. He was born in Bethlehem, but he came literally came from there, right? So don't let your background write you off. I mean, there's this famous Nigerian musician that has this saying that don't let your background keep your back to the ground, right? So don't let your background write you off. The fact that you have a background that is not great or is not the most ideal, like the home you came from, or the place you came from, your locality, or just the fact that you don't have the, oh, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, oh, my parents were this, 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 and that, or my parents and my siblings went to Ivy League colleges. No, the fact that you don't have all those things doesn't mean anything, right? And guess what? The fact that you have those things also doesn't mean anything. The fact that you went to an Ivy League college, it can set you up well for life if you play your cards right. But it can also, going to an Ivy League college does not mean you'd be successful. You can also be a failure doing that, right? But also coming from like a no-name place, no-name institution, no-name part of the country, doesn't mean you cannot be successful. Or even if you come from a family that has a lot of like, you know, mental health problems, no. Don't let that define you, right? You can make a decision, take prudent steps, and make something great of your life, or make many great things of your life, right? Again, there are many stories of people out there that came from less than ideal backgrounds that have really changed the face of humanity, right? So just kind of keep that at the back of your mind. Don't let your background write you off. Don't write yourself off. And let me tell you this, even if other people write you off, don't write your own self off. Because the thing is, many of these things in life are all based on fighting and winning that battle in your mind. If in your mind, you're proposing in your heart that you're a great person and you can do great things in this world, you will do great things in this world, right? So don't knock yourself down, right? Even if no other person believes in you, believe in yourself, right? Believe in yourself. And you may not be feeling it now, but start taking prudent action, right? Don't wait until you feel great to take action. No, start taking action. After a while, you'll start feeling great, right? So act your way into feeling. Don't feel your way into action, right? I think there's a famous saying by John Maxwell, if I'm not mistaken, right? So just be mindful of those things. Don't let your background write you off. You're a great person, right? The fact that you're alive means that there are great plans in store for you. There are great plans for your life. So no. Don't write yourself off. Trust me, I've seen people from just awful backgrounds. But those people are people that they've done amazing things. And this is not just medical students, this is not just physicians, but from all walks of life, right? So again, just be mindful of that. Don't write yourself off. Believe in yourself, take prudent action, trust God, and you'll end up in a good spot. So until next time, God bless you. I'll see you again.